It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Ben, a.k.a. Rowan, and the Silver Adept of Neverwhere Nights Podcast and the Realms of Trinity.
Hello, this is Jeremiah, FRO on the Neverwinter MMO, and tonight I'll be talking about several of my quests.
And this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian, of Neverwinter Nights Podcast and the Realms of Trinity. And you're listening to the 183rd episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of the role-playing games and the new, now-released Neverwinter from Cryptic. Well, tonight we have the very first Foundry author on the show, Jeremiah. Welcome to the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Thank you very much.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you, and I really can't wait to get into your experiences and all the work that you've been doing in the Foundry. And you know, could you get started off telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into, you know, working with the Neverwinter Foundry?
Well, I'd found the new Neverwinter MMO probably about a month and a half or so ago. It'd been a while since I'd played any D&D. My last D&D game was actually a pen and paper campaign that I ran for one of my friends who owned a comic store back in 99. So it'd been some time, almost 13 years, but that's why I checked it out. The Foundry, I fell in love with it at first. I'm a writer. I love telling stories, and that was a way to tell stories that I couldn't tell any other way, and that's why I really jumped into it. It took me about a week, though, hardcore, to really figure it out.
Very nice. Were you using like any kind of online documentation, or was it pretty much all self-taught?
Self-taught. I found that I learn quicker if I just jump in, make my mistakes, and learn as I go.
Yeah, it does seem to be the way to go sometimes. it certainly does. I mean, that's really cool. Before that, did you get into any other game modding prior to working with the Neverwinter Foundry?
Not very much. Too much mods. I've done a little bit here and there. Like I said, I'd run the pen and paper campaign. There's a text game called Cantor 2. I'd worked on the advertising department for it about 10 years ago. And it's a text-based MMO, a society simulation game.
Oh,
and
cool.
And that's the only other MMO I'd actually had any experience with.
Wow. Well, that's a heck of a jump.
Yeah.
Wow, it is cool.
So out of curiosity, being the, you know, as you said, this is sort of your first big stab at doing the custom content. How do you find using the tool set and everything else?
It was pretty easy once I got used to it. You know, the big thing is learning to convert the 2D map that you're putting everything into what it's going to be looking like 3D. You can't be sitting there switching back and forth or doing everything in a 3D editor. You've got to learn what it's going to look like when you lay that down. And that's learning that really sped up things. This last quest I put together, the Beowulf one, is the fourth one I've done. And every time I try to learn from my mistakes on the one before it. And this one really came out nice because I went in and I've spent so much time in the Foundry. And there's still a lot to learn, but I'm no master at it. But it's really fun, and that helps a lot too.
So, since you mentioned it, can you tell us a bit about the quests you have made and maybe their names for those who are trying to find them?
Okay. Well, right now, I've got three up. I've got one daily called Dark Designs. It's been fully edited, and it is finished as much as it's going to be. I've got two others, The Church of the Insane and Beowulf. They are both in beta stage, and we'll be going through beta editing up until play 20. They're coming along pretty good, and there's a lot of great feedback from the people there.
Very nice.
Cool.
Speaking of feedback, what kind of feedback have you gotten from the players who have played your release content? Was it what you expected, or is it like even more so?
It was a little bit better than I'd hoped. I was a little bit unsure going into it because, you know, like I said, this is my first really graphics-based MMO, and I'm just, you know, I basically just walked into it and was like, hey, let's see what I can do. And so I was a little bit nervous about it, but it's really been much better than I thought. It's been varied. You know, you'll get some reviews, or you might just get a star, but then you'll get other reviews that might be 300-400 words, and that you can do some real work on your quest based off.
Right. Good. Yeah. Good, solid, constructive feedback.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one nice thing. Whenever you get, you know, well, it also shows that people are actually more engaged in what you're making as well.
Yeah, and they're thinking about it, and they're not just playing through it just to do the motions.
Right, and that's really cool that we see that type of setup whenever we interview Neverwinter Nights module creators, single player module creators, because they're very similar to the type of work that you're doing. They're not, you know, they're not specifically like their own world or something. It's a quest that fits into a, you know, either a larger series of quests or a world itself. You know, and it's what's the one like common theme that I'm seeing reading over the Foundry forums and seeing what, you know, what content authors are posting and the type of feedback that they're getting. So it's really cool to see that translate from one platform to another, like this, what you're doing too.
Yeah, it crosses platforms. I've been a member of CritiqueCircle.com since 2007, and I've got on the order of almost 200 critiques done there. I don't hold a perfect rating. A little bit too pragmatic for that. I won't tell people what they want to hear. I'll tell them my opinion, you know, and how, right, I look at it as a writer, you know, because that's really what you're looking for. You don't gain anything when somebody tells you what you want to hear. That's worthless.
Correct. Absolutely. Well, it's also really good that you actually are coming at it with that level of maturity and, you know, it's just a dedication to getting your product the best that it possibly can be.
Yeah. You know, I've written for years. I mean, literally almost my whole life. I mean, I started writing when I was probably 7. I wrote my first full-fledged stories when I was 13, 14, and I'm 36 now. And, you know, it's a huge learning process. And it never really stops, but there's a point at which you really figure out what needs done to get better instead of just going out there and hoping people will like it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Can you outline some of the features of your quests that you think are something really neat or something that stands out?
Well, I'm a big fan of free roam, open exploring type games. Cool. So all my quests so far are all free roam, open exploring type maps. They're all single maps. There's no multiple maps, so you're free to roam the map as much or as little as you want. I put in a lot of Easter eggs. I've had people tell me that my quests have multiple quest feel to them. Even though we can't put side quests into the foundries, I insert a lot of stuff that feels like other stuff that you're doing, you know, and people like that quite a bit, it seems. And that's something I like because that's what I like doing when I play a game.
Yeah, it's definitely really, it's really cool because, you know, when you think about, say, the quest that you're writing, and it's not just, okay, here's something that we're doing just to get, you know, here's a quest that I'm going through, a story or whatever. It's nice to have that other detail in there, like, okay, this may not be directly related to the quest, but it does give that immersion factor. If you can go around a town or whatever, a dungeon, doesn't matter what it is, and you actually can go around and bring more of it in if you so choose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. I normally tend to mark the main quest pretty well. I let people have their option, you know, to vary off of it for the most part. But for the most part, people do, actually. And it's actually sort of surprised me how much people do.
Wow. Yeah, it's not. Do you, like, as far as, like, when you get that type of feedback, are you seeing that firsthand, or are you actually, is that being told to you through via, like, feedback on a forum or some other medium?
The best feedback I've got is off the Scribes Enclave forum, which was started by one of the players, and is just a community just for reviewing. We don't critique group that I'm part of for my other writing. that's where my best critiques have come from. And here I've noticed here the last couple of weeks, a lot of the Foundry shots and a lot of the feature quest have been coming out of that forum.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And that's why I let everybody in there know about you all, because that forum is where a lot of the top quests are coming from right now.
Well, that is very much appreciated.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, so we definitely want to make sure that we, you know, get out there, and we're certainly supporting the Neverwinter community as much as we possibly can. So, I mean, that's one of the things that we like to do, is to continue the dialogue and get other authors like yourself on, because we really love to learn more about how the community is coming together, and how, if in any way possible, that we can help promote your work. I mean, so I think what you guys are doing is extremely important to the Neverwinter, you know, project, period, because that's what's driving it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. The player created content, you know, it's real easy to max out your character in Neverwinter MMO. Uh-huh. So once you've maxed out your character, that player-created content becomes a major part of it, because at that point, once you're maxed out, that's when you're really free to go looking at all the other stuff, because most people go in, they want that level 60, they want all the benefits from that. Well, once they do that, what are they going to do? That's when they start turning to all the user-created content.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, one of the things is, you know, we've seen it in the past with more action-oriented, persistent worlds, and what we see is a lot of times people will just turn and burn, get to the run all the content, get their character max level, and then that's sayonara. You know, it's pretty much it. There's no... There isn't really any sticking fat. There's no end game really that they can keep working towards, or, you know, it depends on the world, obviously. But the fact that UGC creation, like you're doing, is really helping drive persistency in the world, I think is a great thing. I mean, it certainly is.
Yep. Yeah. It's there's some real good ideas coming out of it too. Like on the forum, the review forum, we've talked about possibly sharing some characters, being able to mention certain different players' characters in different quests to sort of build a continuity between all the quests, like that too. And that's one of the things we've been looking into. It's really hard though, you know, once you create a character, you don't want to just give that off to somebody.
Right.
So that's one of the things. I'm not sure where that's going to go, but we'll see where that's going to go. I mean, I don't know about some of the other authors, but like one of the characters that I'm working with in the Church of the Insane, Lunatic Larry, I actually created him 13 years ago in that Cantor 2 text-based game.
Oh, really?
So this character is a character that I've created and had in my head for best part of 15 years right now. Uh-huh. You know, and you can't just say, okay, yeah, do what you want with that character. You know, it don't work like that.
No. Well, you know, another thing too is that you bring up a point that I didn't even think. I mean, I know that we had talked about it before the game came out, when the Foundry was being, first started coming out in beta. You know, our team at Realms of Trinity was talking about actually building a campaign out in Neverwinter to coincide what we're doing with Neverwinter Nights 2. And I was like, you know, that's a great idea. Until we got in, we're like, well, we'd have to individually develop stuff, because you can't share content, you know, between – you can't have, like, one login and share – I mean, you can, but it's not the right way to do it as a team, you know. So, but what you bring up is somewhat an idea, like, that we were talking about before. It's almost like a collaboration. Like, you would have to actually set up a collaboration between you and other content developers to say, hey, ahead of time, hey, we want to work on this, maybe – this storyline, this particular line of maybe different characters you come up with that you don't have to worry about somebody heisting.
Exactly. Yep. And one of the things that we're sort of figuring out on it is what types of things. Like, it would be almost like a profile, like the character's name, what they do, their personality, and then the most important part of that, though, would be basically what the creator of that character is allowing other authors to do with that character. Uh-huh. Whether you can just mention it, or whether you can actually use them in a quest, or, you know, what level that you can use them. So I'm curious. It might go somewhere, but I'm just not sure I'm just not sure. Like, yeah, when I create a character, I don't really create them to throw away and to get rid of at the end of that quest. You know, I create them with, you know, knowing that I might possibly be able to use them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can understand that. You know, talking about this, it's almost leading into the next question. You know, what are some of your future plans and projects? I mean, I know you have the Church of the Insane. What are some of the other stuff that you have in the works, or maybe down the road even further than that?
Well, right now, I've actually got my entire Neverwinter quest sort of planned. I'm going to end up finishing up probably about 5 or 6 quests all total. One's going to be Lunatic Larry's Church. It will be 2 parts. The second part is coming, and it will detail the destruction of the church. The other campaign is Stopping Leland, and the description on that is these quests detail the crimes, capture, and execution of Leland Weathertree. So this is going to be 3 quests that detail all that. The first one, Dark Designs, like I said, it's a daily now. I did have a second one in it, but I've learned so much since I put that map together that I've pulled that map to completely redo it and to make it more consistent with everything else. And I finished the Beowulf. I got it up for beta right now, and that's looking real close to my entire catalog. It's probably going to take me another month or two to finish that, though.
Well, that's also something that, you know, as you learn the stuff, I mean, you hate to do it, but sometimes you got to go back and refactor some stuff, you know, especially after you spend all that time building it, but then you learned all those different tools and features and better ways of doing stuff, and then you start looking back.
Yeah, you don't want to put together a quest, say, you know, like that one is going to have 3 in it, you know, and it got to the point where I was looking at it and I was going to end up with basically 2 quests in this thing that were going to be averaging 4 to 5 stars, with 1 quest that was probably going to average 2 to 3.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't consistent. And so I needed to do something about that.
Yep. Oh, hey, it's one of the things you hate to do when you want to keep moving forward, but at the same time, you know, for consistency's sake and for the fact that to even bolster your newer content, the way that you got to do it sometimes.
Yep.
Yep. Ben?
Yep. No, I was just letting you guys, the second you start talking revisioning, I go, I'm going to let Brian take this one because he might know something about that, you know, the fact that Atlantis is on version like 64.
Oh, God.
What are some of your favorite parts and features of using the Foundry development?
Well, I really like the 3D preview part of it.
Right.
I've tried to use other, like, role-playing creation type deals over the years because I've always had an interest in telling these few certain stories. But this was actually the first one I've run across that didn't have a learning curve so steep I needed a month or two to climb it. So, you know, this is really the simple fact that was simple enough to learn quick enough to be proficient within a certain amount of time is probably my favorite part of it.
Right. No, I mean, I definitely agree with you there, because I know in the past, be it first-person shooters or even the previous Neverwinter games, you know, something I personally struggle with is, oh, I can do this part, that's not bad. Oh, now I want to make a walk path, or I want to make this happen. And you just go, well, yeah.
Yep. Or you have to know all kinds of, you have to have all the numbers. You have to know exactly how that grid's laid out.
Right.
And plug all your numbers in. And my God, it's like I've never made it past probably more than a day or two on any other type of editor like that. Now, to credit though, I never played with the first Neverwinter Nights editor. I seen it, but I didn't have a computer that ran that game very well.
Yeah.
So I never spent a lot of time on it. Because where I'm a writer, I went quite a while with an obsolete computer because all I did was type on it. So I sort of missed. I played Neverwinter Nights, and when it first came out, but I missed 2. I always wanted to play 2, but I never got around to it. I just never had a computer to play it.
We might know a server for you.
Yes, we do. You come to the right place.
So, just to build on that, though, is there anything that they added in Fury of the Feywild that you thought really helped the ability to create your own story?
I'd try to use a kiss method. Keep it simple, stupid. So, I'm not real drawn to fancy stuff, new stuff. I go in, I look for what I need to tell the story with. Right. I've used a couple things. I have the new pack. I've used a couple benches and some trees. That's all I've used out of the new stuff because I simply haven't had a reason to use the other stuff. I've seen some of the other stuff in the quest, and it looks nice, especially the doors, the volume open doors that open when you come up to them. Those are really nice. I like one of my quests coming up, the third part of the Stopping Leland campaign is going to have one of those in it, because I'm going to have a part where they have to go outside the city walls. So there's some nice features, real nice features.
Well, and I mean, it's good to hear too, because especially, you know, and I'm picking on myself here because I know Brian loves spending hours in map development and everything else. I'm the type that it's not even a matter of I wish I had the patience anymore. It's a matter of I wish I had the time to have the patience. So, you know, having a system that, to your point, you could go, look, I want to tell a good story. I want to have a good setup so it's not somebody's riding through here going, that looks hideous. But the fact you can do both in a relatively short period of time sort of really helps things, I think.
Yeah. It also matters how much time you put into it, though. I mean, I've been lucky. Right now I'm living off a large insurance payoff I got a few months ago. I'm just sitting here concentrating fully on my writing. So that's one reason why I was able to pick it up so quick. I mean, right. When I sat down for a week in front of it, I literally sat down for a week in front of it. I mean, almost 18, 20 hours a day for a week solid to learn it. And then I've been probably pulling close to 18-hour days for the entire month since putting all this stuff together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I'm probably up to about the 300 to 400-hour mark on all this stuff so far. And that's why I have to say there's an end game to it, because otherwise I'm just going to keep working on it because I like it. And meanwhile, I've got science fiction novel I'm supposed to be working on that my other critique group is clamoring to see more of, and you know,
I gotta
get back to it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's like we in our last our second part of our Gen Con appearance, we interviewed Maxwell Drake, and you know, he does a big fantasy series, paperback, hardback, and now he's doing game writing, and he had the exact same response you did. He's like, people are looking for my third book, and all I'm going to tell them is they'll get it when they get it. You know, it's like, because he keeps getting people, you know, hammering on him for his next book in his series, and you know, it's funny though. You have the exact same type of situation where you got 1,000 things going on, and you know, you can only get one at a time, really.
Yeah, because it takes so much time and thought. You can't really go into creating a world, whether it's in a quest or in a book or anything like that, without concentrating fully on that. You know, there's no really room for anything else. You're either working on it or you're not.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is I think in both experiences that you've mentioned, both writing and creating this stuff, let's be honest, if you half-ass it, everybody's going to know and you're going to know.
Yeah, and you'll get ate up for it. And, you know, everybody out there has gotten a bad review. And it don't matter how many critiques you get or how many bad reviews you get. You know, they sting. So, you know, you can't get mad at them. You can't be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, you got to be like, you're either going to say, okay, they don't matter, or you're going to say, I'm going to do something to change that. And if you do something to change it, then you're also making a better product, you're learning, and you're creating a better experience for the people that see it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take some of the feedback with a grain of salt, too. I mean, I think that one of the things that stood out to us from one more thing from the Gen Con interviews that we did, we interviewed Shane Hensley, and he had told us that, you know, sometimes you can make a work of art, but sometimes you're going to pay for it. But the idea is that you keep doing it, and eventually that will end up paying off. You know, you keep doing quality work, it's going to, sooner or later, it's going to pay off. It may not pay off the first time or second time, but it may pay, it will definitely pay off at some point, you know.
There's like, good things take time, and, you know, a lot of people that get into any kind of arts, you know, any kind at all. I group a large thing under arts. That's writing, that's painting, that's what you all do with the podcasting, because it involves producing and using programs to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no matter what it is, it takes time to do it. You know, like this podcast has been on since 2006, you said. And,
correct.
You know, it was, went 3 years before you took it over. But then how long after that did it take you to get it to the point it is now? You know, all that took time, and everything that came before it had to come before it for this point to come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've done how many episodes we've done now, Ben? We took over 132, right?
Yeah.
So we're, this is 183, so you do the math, right? So about 50 episodes already. So, I mean, that's a lot. Plus, what, we did 5 live appearances. Now we did our 5th live appearance. That was interesting.
Oh, wow. I bet that was real interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot of cool stuff like that. I mean, our first one that we did was kind of a little less of a hectic thing, because we were in a media room. But the second one we did, we were actually live in a main event hall at Origins Game Fair, and that was pretty serious. You know, and it was, yeah, you got people watching, and, you know, milling past you and looking and listening to the podcast as you're recording it. And it's like, wow, you know, so you have to kind of, it's not the exact same thing I set in a recording studio like we are now. It's a little bit different than that. Now you got eyeballs looking at you.
Yeah, it's like having your boss standing behind you or something.
Yeah. Except this boss doesn't know who the hell we are.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, right. Right.
I feel so loved already.
I know. Well, hey,
it's just the truth of being an artist.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, talking about some challenges, what sort of challenges have you faced using the Foundry so far?
Well, probably the biggest was they've been doing a lot of patches. They've been cleaning up a lot of things, and some of the stuff inside the Foundry has been turned off, because obviously it's not a full developer's toolkit, and so sometimes you'll be trying to do something, figure out you just can't do it, or something's bugged, and you gotta just do something else other than what you were thinking. That's probably the most difficult parts of it, but it's just the way it is. I mean, when you have something that big and that complicated, you can't expect it at all to work perfect.
Right. Well, we could tell you horror stories from using the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set from circa 2007, you know, at the time, before all the patches and stuff came out. You know, and all the other stuff. So, yeah, I could tell you horror stories about stuff not working, right? So, but, yeah, I understand what you're talking about there. I mean, I'm sure what the Foundry has is probably a whole lot better solidity-wise we had to deal with.
Yeah, and you'll get people on there that complain about it, but, I mean, it's just the way it is. Plus, the way I look at it, it's a free-to-play game. I haven't spent a penny on it. Everything I've gained with my characters has been in-game. And, you know, I don't see the sense in complaining about something that's free. You know, there's just no point to that. You know, it's great. You know, it is what it is. Either like it or don't.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the things that I don't know. I've never quite understood. But about, if you see the volume of complaints, no matter what it is, not just Neverwinter, but like I'm pretty active on Neverwinter forums, you know, and I see the type of feedback people give that's like, are you serious? Are you serious? You're seriously complaining about whatever, you know, whatever it might be.
Why did you use the color orange in your flags in the background?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, something to that nature, or worse, you know. And it's like some of the stuff, like, even, you know, just reading some of the responses to some of the interviews we've done with with Neverwinter staff, you know, it's just like, are you serious? Are you seriously thinking this? You know, it's like, and I never understood that because we've seen it for years with Neverwinter development, you know, Neverwinter Nights development. I mean, and, you know, you see people that are like, you know, all our stuff's free. You know, that's the nature of what we do. You know, it's why we do it. So people have a place to get together and play just like Neverwinter. No darn different than that. And just seeing some of the type of complaints, not complaining or critiquing. We're just talking about just nastiness. You know, and sometimes you just got to take it with a grain of salt, you know?
Yeah. You know, everybody has their opinions and they're entitled to them, but you can't let those opinions affect how you live.
No.
You know, you got to do what you think is best, and you have to take the advice that, you know, you think is good. You know, that's not, you know, but you have to pick through everything. And some people are just nuts. I mean, one of the things I was reading through on the forums, the thread was locked, or I probably would have went off on a rant on it. But these people were complaining about the Better Business Bureau rating of Cryptic. They're sitting here complaining about something that they're freely buying and then complaining about it. Like, really? Okay, I bought this, but it's not worth it. Well, you freely bought it, so why'd you buy it? And now why are you complaining about it? You know, it's just craziness.
Yeah, you're going to... Oh, I took the time to download it.
Well, it's almost one of those ones where you just think in the back of your head, little sign that says, please don't feed the trolls.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, my favorite one was with ours was the one time somebody was complaining that the bag of holding does not hold enough items.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's like you can hold 12 of those at the time. So 12 times 144. How much crap do you need?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, just like what you said before. I mean, I think you got to take it with a grain of salt, and the fact that you're always going to have that. And, you know, I've said that before. Heck, I even told Jack Emmert that. I said you're always going to have that, as far as the people asking for stuff and, you know, different whatever. I mean, that's one of my comments. You know, not just stating a fact. You know, just from experience and everything. And it's just one of those types of things. You know, you get that, and that's good in a way when you have it constructively. You know, it's not necessarily as good in a way when it's not being constructive. But you're going to have that, especially with 2.5 or more million players playing it.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of deconstructive criticism. Yeah, you know, a lot of people think that just because they say two or three words, has such profound meaning. But people forget that, you know, you have to explain yourself. You can't just drop a couple words and expect everybody to understand that. You know, I didn't like that. That was too slow or whatever. Well, what do you mean? You know, you're not, you know,
right.
It takes feedback to improve it. And I really don't think some people maybe just don't understand that. But I think that's also because so many people aren't in the position that we are, where we're on this end of it.
Right.
And we're working on it, and we're trying to meet those demands, or whatever you want to call them, and turn out a product that's finished.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they've never been on that end of it. And a lot of people, I've seen so many people over the years of me writing, I've seen so many people just fold over the slightest pressure. And you can't,
mm-mm.
You know, if you really want to do it. But that also shows whether they really wanted to do it. Because if you just fold the first bad word you hear, then you never wanted to do it anyway.
Right. It does take a special constitution score to be able to. You gotta have a high con to go along with the intelligence and wisdom, you know, when it comes to any kind of mod development, especially in a public forum such as Neverwinter and even in its predecessors, Neverwinter Nights. I mean, I think that if anything, experience has told us over the past 5+ years that we've been doing our persistent world, it's just, you know, we get the same type of things. And it's what's really cool to see that, you know, we can actually come together as a group, even though that as of right now, we don't do Foundry work yet. It's that we still have a lot to share and a lot of obviously real world experience. Yeah, hosting around 10,000 players will teach you a few things.
Oh, yeah, because you've probably heard God, everything in the world, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, being the chief, the executive of the project, yeah, I've heard a lot, you know, and so has Ben running, you know, Ben's done a lot here on our project, too, and we hear tons of stuff. But at the same time, what keeps us going isn't the, quote, trolls. It's the people who actually do take the time to, A, give constructive criticism, and things to improve or ideas, and we're very open to ideas, just like you are and other content developers are. And at the same time, you know, to listen to the people who are really enjoying your work, because that's really where the energy comes from.
Definitely.
Yeah. If nobody's enjoying it, it's real hard to continue, no matter how much you want to.
Right.
So that's a big part of it.
Right. Right. That's one of the things that, you know, I always joke around. It's like, you know, hey, you look over, how many people are on the server? Oh, there's only like a handful of people, and we're like, crap. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, what is, you know, you kind of get to that point where it's like, well, you know, but at the same time, when you're loaded up, you're like, man, yeah, I'm gonna get some development in. I'm gonna spend my 18 hours a day like you are, you know, because I got all these people that really, you know, really enjoy my work, and you know, that's how it works. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. Well, it's. I'm not the normal case. I mean, I'm an insomniac. You know, I don't sleep good. I love writing. Well, I mean, if I got paid for just writing, there would be nobody that would beat my output. I mean, that's all I can say about it. I mean, if I got paid for writing, like, I'd probably write 60, 80, 100 hours a week.
Wow.
Because I wouldn't have to do anything else. I wouldn't have to go out and worry about putting food in my mouth. I wouldn't have to go out and worry about putting a roof over my head. I could just do what I like.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. So I think we, a lot of us that do content development at this type of work, that's kind of like the dream, right? You know, is there a way that, you know, maybe that somehow this will translate into a way to get a job like that where you can actually put it to work, and that's what you love doing, you know?
But, yeah, but you can't really go into it looking at that. I mean, it would be nice. I mean, you know, God, like, how nice would it be 10 years from now, this right here leading to some job doing what you love? You
right.
Know? Oh. You know, it'd be great. But you can't go into it looking like that, because then you get your expectations up, and then you're let down, and then that holds you back.
Correct.
And it's just better to just go with it and see what happens.
Yeah, I think you're right, totally. I mean, the fact that, you know, you sit down and you're like, okay, well, I want to do this because I want to do this. You know, this is something I want to exercise, so I'm going to do it. And then, if so be it. If you end up getting a ton of opportunities down the road from it, that's even icing on the cake now. You know, it's not the reason why you went into it in the first place.
Yeah, and you really never know. I mean, you know, I could be doing all this work on these quests, and, I mean, God, I mean, Neverwinter could be shut down a year from now for some reason, 6 months from now for some reason, and all that work's just gone. You know, that's just the risk you take. Or it could be up 10 years from now. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's just such variables, you just don't know.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. With that happy thought in mind, do you have any final thoughts or sort of closing comments that you'd like people to hear?
Well, I'm not really much for words, but probably just, if you really believe in something, you know, just work at it and, you know, make it the best you can. Get any feedback you can. Don't give up on what you want to do. There will be plenty of people who will give up on you. So you can't give up on yourself. So just always keep learning and keep pushing yourself to do better.
Yeah. And I think something else, too, with everything here, I think it's fair to say that, you know, if you apply yourself and don't frog around, things will end well.
Yep. Yeah, yep. It may take time, but eventually, yep.
Yep, I totally 100% agree with that. Before we close, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. And if you have any type of updates or anything you'd like to get out there, you know, feel free to contact me and we'll get you back on for some updates or just even further conversations. It's a great conversation we had tonight.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure being on. It's been a lot more fun than I sort of expected. I wasn't really sure what to expect. But it's been a real good time.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. That's what we do. You know? We try, at least. We try.
That's well, all you can do at the end.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, I'm going to give you the closing line for the show.
Till next time, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.